5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It's that time here in Spain where we talk to Levin's Frank's partner, Brett Hansen. How are you doing today, Brett?
Yeah, I'm good, Howard. Still hot, but, you know, summer should be coming to an end in the next couple of weeks, so that will help.
Yeah, I sometimes think September is the best month sometimes.
May and September are good for me.
Yeah. Well, inflation is still high and there's been talk of recession, so it's been an interesting summer for investment markets so far. So today, Brett and I will take a look at what's going on, particularly in the United States, where the economy has had an apparent U-turn, and Brett will also share some investment advice. Well, a few short weeks ago, back in July, inflation in the United States hit a 40-year high of 9.1%. This was prompted by the Federal Reserve into a series of aggressive interest rate rises, which we were told would push America to the brink of recession. But now in August, we've seen the Dow Jones come close to exiting the bear market, and we're being told America could avoid a recession. America is home to many of the world's biggest firms. So Brett, how can it be on the verge of a deep recession, then a couple of weeks later can avoid it?
Well, thanks, Howard. As questions go, that is some starter for 10. But if we look at the leading world stock markets from the beginning of the year until, say, mid-June, with the exception of the FTSE 100, which is an index comprising of the largest 100 UK companies, with the exception of this one, they were all largely down around 22 to 25% from the beginning of the year. And investors tend to define a bear market as a decline of at least 20% in a stock or index from its previous peak. And so in that sense, as at mid-June, most of the world's stock markets were in a bear market. But since then, we have seen stock markets rise. And the main stock markets in the US, for example, are now down around 10% from the beginning of the year. And so this is why we are now hearing that the bear market is coming to an end. In fact, Howard, you specifically mentioned the Dow Jones, and this is a stock market index consisting of 30 prominent companies listed on stock exchanges in the US. And this was also down around 20% by mid-June, but is now only down around 6 or 7%, something like that. Of course, only time will tell whether this really is a recovery in the stock markets or a full storm where stock markets start heading lower again. But stock markets since mid-June have been rising, and at the same time, fears that the recent increases in interest rates in the US would help push them into recession have yet to come true. In fact, in July, job numbers for the US were significantly above expectation, in that more than 500,000 jobs were created against a forecast of around 250,000. And just to add that whilst inflation is likely to remain high in the US in the coming few months, it is expected that it will start coming down at the beginning of next year. And this is largely because of the interest rate rises by the Federal Reserve in the US, but also because we're now seeing the price of oil and other commodity prices reducing. So there is some optimism, certainly with regards to the US, that they may avoid recession and at the same time start seeing inflation either stay at the level that it's currently at or start coming down. And taking a quick look at Europe, Howard, whilst we're on the subject of inflation, this is expected to peak across the EU at around 8 or 9% in the next month or two, and then steadily decline to below 3% by the end of next year. And as I've said, whilst we're starting to see oil prices and commodity prices drop, inflation in Europe in the coming months will largely depend upon how the war in the Ukraine evolves, and in particular, its implications for gas supply to Europe. More increases in gas prices could drive up inflation further and obviously stifle growth. In the UK, I'm afraid, Howard, that there is talk of inflation hitting 13% in the last quarter of this year and to remain at its very high levels throughout much of next year before coming down to its 2% target in around 2 years' time. But despite these uncertainties, seeing commodity prices coming down, perhaps inflation close to peaking, certainly in the US and maybe Europe as well, and the possibility that the US will avoid recession, things may actually be heading in the right direction. And certainly the stock market seem to be, since the lows of mid-June.
Is this change around called in the markets as a black swan event?
A black swan event is a metaphor that describes an event that comes as a surprise, has a major effect, and is then often inappropriately rationalized after the fact with the benefit of hindsight. And the term actually is based on an ancient saying that presumed black swans did not exist. In financial circles, it's used to describe a short-term crisis that could present a longer-term opportunity, in that it starts with stock markets falling quite rapidly, which would be regarded as a buying opportunity for when markets then recover. And certainly over the last 50 years or so, we've experienced around 10 of these with varying degrees of severity. The worst one, undoubtedly, was the global financial crisis of 2007 and 2008, when stock markets fell more than 50% over a 12-month period, which then took around 3 years to recover. But often these stock markets falls happen quite quickly. For example, more recently in 2020, when COVID began spreading across Europe, markets dropped more than 30% in the month of March, but most had returned to their pre-COVID levels within 6 months. And since the start of this year, as I said before, we saw stock markets were down by 20% by mid-June, but right now they've recovered around half of their losses in value. And so anyone who has or had invested in these stock markets when the markets were low saw some very good returns fairly quickly. Of course, this doesn't mean that they may not start falling again in the coming weeks or months, but I can say with some certainty that they will no doubt regain all of their losses and reach even higher levels at some point in the future.
These past few years have been rather difficult and different. So does today's climate present more challenges to preserving and growing your wealth?
I think what the past few years should remind us all is that none of us know what is just around the corner. And it's really impossible to predict the future, certainly over the shorter term, with any degree of accuracy or certainty. But like I say, it should only act as a reminder, because this has always been the case. And so I would say preserving and growing wealth in today's financial environment is no more challenging than it has been at any point in the past or will be in the future, other than the fact that the majority of us are clearly living longer than ever before, and therefore we need to ensure that our money or assets last longer, which of course is a good thing.
Turning to the fundamentals, do investors still allow emotion to influence their investment decisions?
I certainly believe emotions influence when investments and assets are bought and sold. The first time I came across this was in the late 1990s when I graduated from university and started working for a financial firm in London. And this was around the time of the dot-com bubble, when as soon as a startup company had a dot-com at the end of its name, people were investing in them without even considering what those companies did and whether they were suitable to invest in. I mean, they were investing in these companies because everyone was hearing about them, whether through the media or friends, and were hearing about the fantastic returns which were being made on these, and they just didn't want to miss out. And although a number of these new companies had realistic financial plans, most of them didn't, but were able to sell their ideas to investors purely because of the dot-com concept. As a result, between, I think, 1995 and its peak in March 2000, they rose about 400%. But by October 2002, all those gains were lost. And anyone who had invested in the last couple of years or so in these companies made significant losses. We saw something similar in the build-up to the financial crisis in relation to the increase in property prices. And more recently, we've seen the same thing with cryptocurrencies. And even when investors avoid these bubbles, they still can let their emotions get the better of them. Investing near the height of a market because of past performance and media coverage, only to see their investments fall when markets go down, and they hang on until it seems that all the news is doom and gloom, and then in cash at the worst possible time. Just like a number of investors would have done in May or June of this year. I think understanding how our emotions change through a market cycle can help us understand the psychology of it, but unfortunately it still doesn't stop people from making emotional decisions. And that's why I firmly believe that the wisest investors are the ones who spend the time creating a good long-term strategy, which ties in with their aims and objectives, their attitude to risk and their time horizon, and then have the discipline to stay in the market even when it feels uncomfortable. Time and history has repeatedly proven that it's these investors who have the best chance of investment success.
Can investors achieve better returns by trying to time when they buy and sell investments?
Yeah, the thing about time in the market, Howard, is, as I've already said, and as recent history has reminded us, it's very difficult to predict the future. I think it's easy for us to look back at the past and with hindsight see how a set of consequences clearly led to a particular situation. But if we try to think back to before that consequence actually took place and how we felt based on what we knew then, well, then it wasn't so obvious what the outcome would be. History has shown that time in the markets is incredibly difficult. And to be honest, if it was that easy, I would probably be on some luxury yacht right now, retired in the Maldives. In fact, when I hear or see experts in the media giving their views or telling listeners what to buy or sell, I always ask myself, if they are so good at it, why aren't they retired and on their very expensive yacht in the Maldives right now to buy and sell investments at the right time?
Is there a way to predict which asset class will perform better over a specific period?
Well, normally at the beginning of a new year, it's possible through various financial media outlets to get a roundup from a number of investment experts of their predictions as to what asset class will perform best and where stock markets will be at the end of the year. And I have to say that in the 20 plus years that I have looked at these, I don't recall ever reading a correct prediction. And further to this, if a particular fund or asset class does well one year, it doesn't mean that it will do well the following year. And as an example, one of the best performing asset classes in 2018, for example, was real estate equity, i.e. property. However, had you stayed in that fund the following year or invested in that fund in 2019 because of the returns that it achieved in 2018, you would have lost nearly 12%. And likewise, had you invested in, say, UK equities in 2017, you would have returned around 15 or 16% that year. But the following year, it was one of the worst performing asset classes, returning almost minus 10%. it's quite common for an asset class that performs particularly well one year to frequently be one of the worst performing the following year. And so trying to predict the best asset class each year with any degree of success is almost impossible. And typically, we do find investors tend to have too much exposure to their home market because that's the market they probably know best. And so when we first meet a British client, frequently they hold far too much in UK-based investments, which I would say is quite risky and that they're lacking in diversification. There is, of course, much research on this, and the data shows that if you have a well-diversified portfolio of investments, then over the longer term, you'll achieve better returns because different assets and different countries will perform differently and can often significantly vary from year to year. The diversification that comes with this also helps reduce the risk of not having all your assets drop in value at the same time. And so by having a diversified portfolio covering a range of countries, regions, and asset classes, it's often possible to get better returns over a longer period of time with less volatility.
So Brett, how do you help your clients establish the most suitable investment approach for them?
Well, first of all, Howard, the majority of our clients are retired or close to retirement. And so we understand that their first priority is to preserve the capital that they have worked hard to accumulate throughout their lives. We generally find clients are not looking to shoot out the lights, so to speak, when it comes to performance, but are looking to preserve their wealth against inflation or to provide them with an income. And so the starting point whenever someone is investing has to be to obtain a clear and objective assessment of their appetite for risk. And I would actually say that the volatility in the markets that we've experienced over the last couple of years has really been quite helpful in allowing us to understand, and for our clients to understand, just how much volatility they're happy or willing to expose themselves to with regards to their investments. And in relation to that, what should be the composition of their portfolio based on this? If, for example, the last 2 years has been a period of sleepless nights because you were worried about losing your capital, then clearly you need to talk to your financial advisor about your risk profile. And this is best done objectively with, an experienced professional who can help you build a diversified portfolio with the right balance of risk and return for your peace of mind. Interestingly, those who have invested during periods of high volatility don't normally de-risk because they realise that as long as they stay invested and ride out this volatility, they do well over the longer term. Unfortunately, though, far too many people don't enjoy any of the upturns when markets are down because they keep their money in cash, scared to commit to anything because of what might happen. And so if you are concerned about inflation eroding your capital and you feel that you do have too much money sitting in cash, one solution could be to invest over a period of time, what is often referred to as pound cost averaging. And this is a strategy used by some investors to reduce their exposure during times when markets could go down, whereby if an investor has, say, a cash lump sum, rather than putting all of the money in the markets all in one go, they instead drip feed the money into investments over a period of time. And so if markets were to go down further during this time, the investor is able to take advantage of this by adding more money to the investment. But if markets start going up before they have invested all of their money, well, then at least some of their money was invested when stock markets were lower. But when it comes to investing in stocks and shares, Howard, it's impossible to know what may or may not happen in the markets in the short term. And whilst they have fallen since the beginning of the year and in recent weeks have shown a recovery, no one really knows whether they will continue rising in the next coming weeks and months or actually go down before they go back up. Likewise, no one knows what other event, geopolitical or otherwise, may cause additional volatility in the stock markets in the coming days, weeks and months. And this is why by having a diversified portfolio covering a range of countries and asset classes, it's often possible to get better returns over a longer period of time whilst trying to minimize that volatility.
So for those who have capital to invest, do you have any other advice for investing in today's world?
Well, I would say that if you are thinking about investing, before doing so, in addition to making sure that you have established your attitude to risk, also ensure that you are clear what your aims and objectives are and how long you are looking to invest. It's important to bear in mind that when allocating money to asset classes, the higher the concentration in a particular asset class, then the higher the risk. And so the tried and tested strategy to mitigate this risk is diversification, where you hold a good spread of investments, not only in terms of cash, bonds and equities, but also by geographical regions and market sectors to limit your exposure to any single sector of the market. And as I've said in previous broadcasts, part of our diversification strategy, Howard, is usually to recommend a multi-manager approach so that a client portfolio is managed by many different fund managers, each selected for their expertise in specific market sectors. This approach then reduces your reliance on any one investment manager making the right decisions and provides the added diversification of differing manager styles. As an example, most of our client portfolios include more than 40 to 50 fund managers. Of course, if you live in Spain or you're thinking of moving to Spain and you want to discuss your strategic financial planning, or if you have any questions concerning money, finance or taxes in Spain, then I would say give us a call or contact us via our website and you can speak to one of our local Blevins Franks advisors.
And the website is, of course, blevinsfranks.com. Many thanks, Brett. We'll talk again in a fortnight.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Howard. Take care. Bye now.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.